Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
What are open meetings laws and why do they matter? Let's go in depth with Margaret Johnson with the Iowa Public Information Board. Margaret, you're with the Iowa Public Information Board. What do you do there?
I'm the executive director of the Iowa Public Information Board.
And you're an attorney?
That's correct.
What does the Iowa Public Information Board do?
So we have the ability to review and make recommendations, issue rules and opinions concerning open meetings and public records. That's our limited authority is in those two areas as outlined in Chapter 21 for open meetings and Chapter 22 for public records.
Well, what are the rules on open meetings and why are those rules in place?
All right, there's a lot of rules on open meetings. Open Meetings Chapter seeks to assure, through a requirement of open meetings of governmental bodies, that the basis and rationale of governmental decisions, as well as those decisions themselves, are easily accessible to the people. Ambiguity in the construction or application of this chapter should be resolved in favor of openness.
How does it work then? Let's say you have, nine city council people and a mayor.
You go next then to the definitions. You have to determine whether or not the group that is gathering is a governmental body. And there's a series of definitions as to what constitutes a governmental body. The easiest ones are like a board, a council, a commission, or some other type of governing body expressly created by the statutes of this state or by executive order. So let's say a city council, definitely, they fall within that definition. School board falls within that definition. Board of supervisors falls within that definition. So you have to meet that definition of a governmental body. So that would be the first thing that we would look at. Then you look at the definition for a meeting, which follows right along after that. A meeting means a gathering, so coming together, in person or by electronic means, formal or informal, of a majority of the members of a governmental body where there is deliberation or action upon any matter within the scope of the governmental body's policymaking duties. Meetings do not include a gathering of members of a governmental body for purely ministerial or social purposes when there is no discussion of policy or no intent to avoid the purposes of this chapter. So, in other words, if you're coming together to talk about, let's say it's a city, talk about city business, and you're deliberating or taking action, you don't have to vote, but if you're deliberating on matters within the scope of your duties, then that is a meeting. And it doesn't matter whether you're in person or electronic means.
Okay, so it means that if over half of them are together in the same room, then they have to have publicized that the meeting is going to happen with an agenda, and the public has to be able to be there.
Only when there's going to be deliberation or action upon any matter within the scope of their policymaking duties.
But let's say that, some city councilmen leave the meeting, and city councilmen and women leave the meeting, and they stand on the street corner discussing the businesses. Let's just say that three or four of them stand out on the corner and discuss what has just happened and maybe some future plans. Does that constitute a violation?
It can. We recommend you don't put yourself in a position where those sort of questions come up.
It's probably harder to violate on a large council, but if you've got a three-member board, a couple of them talking about, let's say, business, decisions, deliberation, what do you think about X, that would constitute a violation.
If they are deliberating, and, unfortunately, the statute doesn't define what deliberation is. But if you look it up, and I've done this, look it up in the dictionary, and it's like discussion with a purpose. If you are discussing something and then you start trying to figure out the pros and cons and how can we modify this, and you start coming to a point where you've got a meeting of the minds rather than just here's my opinion, and well, here's my opinion, and leaving it at that, you could be engaging in deliberation. It's kind of like maybe a slippery slope, so it can go from one to the other.
So if I'm on a three-member board, I can say, oh, I'm for vacating this road or changing the street name. And so can I say that? And then the other person can say what they think? I'm not in favor of that? Is that constitutes deliberation, right?
It would really depend. It's so factually based. You know, there's kind of like my opinion, but I'm not the board. I'm just, you know, the legal advisor for the board. So, you know, sometimes we look at these and go, well, in this case, yes, but in this case, no. So it's really hard to tell. You have to look at all the facts. And the sad part is that when you've got this going on, you aren't recording it. So even if it's like we can't prove that they were deliberating, it certainly doesn't look good.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about open meetings with Margaret Johnson with the Iowa Public Information Board. Well, and you say something interesting, electronic. That means that if I'm on a board or something, we can't have a conversation via text either.
You shouldn't be doing via text. You shouldn't be doing it via Messenger on Facebook. You shouldn't be doing it via emails.
What are the consequences for violating open meeting laws?
It depends on where you file that. Any aggrieved person, taxpayer too, citizen of the state of Iowa or the attorney general or county attorney, may seek judicial enforcement of the requirements. So you can go to court. Suits to enforce this chapter are brought in district court in the county in which the governmental body has its principal place of business. Then the other thing you could do is file a formal complaint with the Iowa Public Information Board. You don't have to do both things. You can do one or the other. We don't have quite the enforcement capabilities that the court does. In the first place, we're only allowed to review complaints involving chapters 21 and 22. A court would have a lot broader code sections to pull from. So let's say you had a situation where a violation of open meetings occurred as well as some other violation of Iowa code. We could deal with the open meetings, but not with that other violation. So lots of times it's just more convenient and makes more sense to just go to district court because district court can take care of, has jurisdiction over both matters.
Well, I presume that if there is a violation, there's consequences.
Exactly. And as I say, I mean, I'd be really long to have to read all this, but there's Iowa Code Chapter 21.6, the court, their enforcement is more punitive. One of the things it says is upon a finding by a preponderance of the evidence that a governmental body has violated any provision of this chapter, a court shall assess each member of the governmental body who participated in its violation damages in the amount of not more than $500 and not less than $100. Unless it's knowingly participated, then that statutory damages goes up to $1,000 to $2,500. Those damages are paid to the state of Iowa if the body in question is a state governmental body or to the local government involved if the body in question is a local governmental body. And then they can order the payment of costs and reasonable attorney fees in the trial. Those have to be paid by the members who are part of that governmental body, not by the governmental body. So that can be really pricey. The court can void any action taken in violation of the chapter. So if they meet and they do some things, the court can undo that. and they can, or the court shall issue an order removing a member of a governmental body from office if that member has engaged in a prior violation of this chapter for which damages were assessed against the member during the member's term. The court may issue a mandatory injunction ordering the members of the offending governmental body to refrain for 1 year from any future violations of the chapter. So those are the things the court can do. Now, if you look then under Chapter 23, under the things that the Iowa Public Information Board can do, we don't have all of those enforcement abilities. Plus, in addition, we're required when we accept a complaint and start processing a formal complaint, we're required to try to come up with an informal resolution. Most of our informal resolutions involve training and making certain that somebody, you know, doesn't do that again.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about open meetings with Margaret Johnson with the Iowa Public Information Board. What if I'm an employee that knows that this is happening and I fear for my job, if I feel intimidated by the government official and I might lose my job? They're my boss. There are consequences for complaining. What can I do then?
We have the ability to accept anonymous complaints, you know, contacting me and asking how we'd go about doing that. The problem is that if we have no mechanism for working on an informal resolution, or we don't have any, you know, they could call witnesses if we were going forward with a contested case, then we wouldn't have we wouldn't be able to do anything. So there are ways we've had in the past people who've used a name of an organization rather than an individual's name. If we don't have a mechanism for working with that person, it's kind of hard for us to do much of anything. We don't have any ability to, you know, kind of do whistleblower protections.
So somebody in that position could talk with you, or I would hope to think that there would be human resources protections for people in this situation.
And, you know, there might be. I don't know, because that's not my area of law to comment upon.
Well, what's your last words of advice? You know you're going to have people out there, you've probably heard this 1,000 times, that it's hard to get any business done. We can't always say we're going to have a meeting when we just have an idea and we want to share and we want to talk and we're just working for the good of the people and we don't have any ulterior motives, and this is slowing down our progress.
And I do hear that a lot. And, you know, I mean, just the people that we've worked with, or that I've worked with in the last 6 years, I haven't felt like there's, you know, some sort of conspiracy to keep government out of the hands of the public. I think lots of times people just don't understand what the laws are, and that's why we engage in a lot of training. I imagine probably, well, as an example, we had something like 750, 800 contacts last year, and, you know, 100 and some formal complaints. So, you know, we spend the majority of our time on training and answering people's questions informally and offering guidance. Approximately 47% of what we do is advising local government on what they should be doing in order to, you know, be as transparent as possible. So I hear that, but it takes so long. And I would agree, you know, open meetings take longer. I mean, democracy is not your most efficient way of doing government, but it's the government we have. And to, you know, so, you know, as a state, as a country, that's what we want people to be doing, is having, you know, open meetings and having records being public, rather than doing everything in secret or having one person just making autonomous decisions without the input of the people.
Thanks to Margaret Johnson for contributing to the program.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in-depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.